But I was so caught up in those golden handcuffs, like that security of that W-2 job that had the check and all the things. And also at this time, my husband had quit his job and we had moved to Florida. So when I got fired on November 1st, 2022, I had no job. He had no job. We basically had no like real nest egg. And we had just bought a big house and we had no health insurance. So we just decided that we were crazy enough to burn the boats and say like, we're just, screw it. We're going to just see what happens. And it ended up.
It still hits. I don't miss it. Just go, go, go. Like a go, go flow. And I'm almost done. And I told y'all so. When I throw these flows, like it's Rochambeau. And I ain't too close. It's Joe Smoke goes. And I'm on my grind. That is all the time. I do not do race. That's right. I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. And a little more cash than I came in with. Ready that cat is out that bad. But I still ask the boy got skills. I don't need her. I don't need him. I don't need help with me. I got this. I can sing songs. I can spit raps. And I can do both. Even do this. Word.
Support for the On the Stacks podcast comes from Montage Planning Partners. Partnerships like this make our community a better place to live and work. That's why Montage Planning Partners is proud to support the important work of On the Stacks. When it comes to financial planning, most financial companies ask, "What's your salary?" At Montage Planning Partners, we ask, "What's your story?" We know building the right financial plan means looking at more than just money. That's why we start by asking the right questions, listening to what matters most to you, then guiding you every step of the way to help you live the life you want. Now and years from now. Plan your financial story with Montage Planning Partners with Northwestern Mutual, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Contact Montage Planning Partners today. Visit montageplanningpartners.com for further information and disclosures. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On the Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On the Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game. What's up, podcast? I'm your host, Bill Corcoran Jr. here in the MPP studio. Stephanie Couch, welcome to the On the Stacks podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yes, it's great. So first of all, I love the hat, by the way.
Thank you. This one has my name on the back.
Look at that. I need to get one of those. I don't have my name on the back of this one yet. I'm still working on that.
We can make it happen. Anything is possible.
I love it. I love it. But I love the I'm sure obviously there's just knowing a little bit about you and your background and branding and marketing, all that. I'm sure that the hat has a significance probably to like a personal brand or your personal brand. I myself, we were talking before we came on. I wear the same black backwards hat and black shirt and black pants every day. My friends and family make fun of me. And I actually tell everybody I don't even own anything else. And I think people have started to think that it's true. I do own other things, but I just don't wear them that much.
Hey, my husband's personal brand and yours are the very same. So right. We just saw that a minute ago. But exactly. The personal branding thing is part of the hat now. But it actually started when I worked at corporate. I love to wear hats. And one day I went into my corporate job and I had this killer outfit on. It was like a pink leather jacket. I had this really cute black hat on. And I actually got called into the principal's office and told I couldn't wear it anymore, because if they couldn't let other people wear like a hat like what you have on, then they couldn't let me wear a hat, which obviously is not the same thing. But so after I got out of corporate and started my own business, it was kind of like a, I can wear what I want now. And then it just became a thing. And now I hope I love hats forever, because if I don't want to wear one, people are like, are you okay? What's your hat? We don't even know who you are.
Yeah. So you'd be unrecognizable. And I feel like I would be too.
Yeah.
So
it's really interesting. I didn't think it was going to go this far, this fast, but now I kind of like, my Instagram feed is just hats all the time, which is
same.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we're part of the hat club, you know?
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, and you know, isn't it like such a great feeling? Like you said, like, you know, you were working the corporate job and now that you're doing what you do now and you don't have to worry about how you're showing up. Like, you sure. get to show up like 100%. Like, you really get to feel like your full authentic self by dressing the way you want, you know, speaking the way you want and just coming up and showing up. And for me, at least too, I know you'll probably agree, like it makes you more confident, right? Like when you're able to just dress, talk, and do everything like the way that you want, you know, the way you're most comfortable, you're going to show up like your most confident self. And I think then it shows in your personal life, your professional life. But isn't it just like such a great feeling to, like, you know, now that that's like beyond you. And we were talking a little before we came on too, like that's like, you know, a little bit my past too. You know, I was saying I worked for my family's business and now I'm out doing my own thing. But, you know, now I can wear the black backwards hat every day. And, you know, when I take it off now, everybody's like, whoa, who is that?
Yeah, it's cool. It's amazing to see. I always tried to show up as my full authentic self. But when I especially was young in my career at corporate, I had come from my dad's lumberyard where I obviously was just who I was, still in a very male dominated environment. But, you know, with a family, right? And people I knew that had known me since I was small, which brought its own share of problems. But once I got to corporate, I started, you know, trying to assimilate a little bit as much as someone that's like me can. There's not a whole lot of assimilation that happens, but it's interesting. You know, I like bought a vest and some khakis and it never felt like me. And I never liked that, but I thought like, okay, I'll be in the groove a little more. And finally, I just got to the point where I was like, no, I'm going to go do my thing. And even before I left corporate, I was doing what I wanted, but I did a podcast. I think it was maybe like 2018, first podcast I ever did. And it was a company that does building materials software. And I remember I had to have an interview with my corporate HR director before the podcast with like all the questions they were going to ask, what I was going to answer. It's like, this is a podcast about me. Like, not, it doesn't even have anything to do with the logo, but because I was working for them, I was representing them. And I totally understand that, but it's nice to be able to just kind of, like, if I want to say the F word on this podcast, I can just do it. I don't have to really worry about it. So I'm sure that'll happen before this is over.
But like you said, like, yeah, like I understand that, you know, also, you know, to a degree, like, you know, of course, you know, when you're working for, you know, a company, you know, or, you know, big corporation or whatever, I mean, even a small business, you know, like you're, you know, you are, you know, you're a representative of that company and, you know, things that, you know, you say, you know, obviously could, you know, could benefit, but could also, you know, harm whatever, you know, company, big or small. So like, you know, I get it, you know, but at the same time, like, you know, like you said, like it's hard because you feel like you have to kind of act and do and talk and look and all that a certain way that, you know, not that it's not 100% you, or, you know, or it's pretty close.
It's a watered
right?
down, like, yeah. It's a transparency, like on Canva where you can change the transparency of how like pink the pink is. It was like a little less than 50% transparency on the pink. You know?
Yeah.
Now it's like, I can just be Stephanie.
Now
and so that's
100%
cool,
pink.
And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that too. I've always been big on personal branding, which I think is why like we connect so well.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, me personally, like I've been like building my personal brand for, well over 10 years, like before, like it was even cool, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you were an early adopter because most people 10 years ago didn't even know what that meant or why they should do it. A lot of people still don't, and it's 2024.
Don't. Isn't it crazy? Like it's the craziest thing ever. Yeah.
Well, that's one thing I was going to say when you're talking about corporate, you know, yes, it can be scary that here's the main things I hear from businesses about people in their enterprise doing personal branding for themselves. They're like, well, if they get too big, they'll want to leave, which my answer to that is like, if you're a great place to work, that's probably not going to happen. I mean, some people are going to always leave and move around. Doesn't matter what their brand is or isn't. But also they're like, well, what if they say something we don't like? But that's the negative part. Like, what if they say something that gets you a huge $1 million deal you would have never gotten if they weren't posted on LinkedIn? Or what if they can go be a free spokesperson for you every single day instead of you having to do these crazy paid media campaigns that cost millions of dollars? Just let your people post on LinkedIn and like greenlight that for them.
Right.
And don't judge them for it. And it's going to be a mix of personal and company and all that. But the image, especially in a sales role, which we both have a sales background,
yeah.
You know, the image of a salesperson talking about what they're selling is a lot easier for people to want to buy than a big company campaign that has their logo and it's like, this is why we're the best. Well, show me, don't tell me. And that's what personal branding really is. And I think there's huge, especially in my industry, which is super traditional, huge blue ocean that we can go make this happen for companies that really help their people build personal brands. It's good for everyone if it's done right.
Oh, 100%. And I think, you know, I've been preaching this, you know, for forever. And I know it's obviously, you know, part, you know, major part of your business and what you do now. You know, you have mine now too, like, you know, podcasting. I mean, you have a podcast, you know, there's, you know, podcasting is, I mean, it's been booming for a while, but I think even now, like, you know, people, I mean, I hope people are taking personal branding more seriously now, like, especially with, you know, with technology and all the different things that you can do on, you know, with podcasting and social media and just, I think it, you know, so many people undervalue it so much, like building your personal brand. Like, you never know, like, when you're going to need to, like, rely on that personal brand. Like, yeah. if let's just say you're working at the corporate job and you never took the time to, like, sort of, you know, like, hone, like, yourself, like, who you are, and just build a little something. Not that you have to go crazy like you and I and build out, you know, a couple different websites and whatever, you know, anything. But just, you know, maybe just build out your social media a little bit. And, you know, I think, you know, because, like, if, you know, say you don't do that and, you know, economy takes a downturn, maybe you get let go, whatever the case is. If you don't, you know, not saying do it as a backup plan, but number one, it's, like you said, it's going to help your career no matter what. But also too, like, you know, one day, like, you may not have that job. And then what? Like, you have, what do you have to rely on? Because, like, to me now, like, your personal brand, like, that is your resume. Your social media, that is your resume. Like I tell people, like, don't even send me a resume. I don't even want to see a resume. I don't even care. Like, yeah. Just send me your social media and show me your digital content. Show me your digital footprint. That's all. I mean, of course, there's some other things, obviously, you care about. I don't want to say I don't
your
care
doctor
about anything.
Your doctor or lawyer, maybe you want to see some credentials.
Exactly. I mean, yeah.
But hey, if they're story. On TikTok, it could be a leg up for them.
That
if they
too.
Have the credentials too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a great segue. Like, the power of that is I can tell you several people right now that are lawyers, doctors, doing different things on social that I would never, ever in my wildest dreams know their name. There's one on TikTok named Jefferson that does like a communication in his car every single day. He's a lawyer. And I would never know who this kid is. I don't even know where he lives or any of that. But if he was in my area and I needed a lawyer, I would call him because still TikTok.
Yeah, because you know him. And
exactly,
so many people
don't. You feel
don't...
like you already connect. You trust
yes.
him because you've been seeing him every
yes.
day. You've probably learned from him, which is a great way to connect. It's crazy where these things can go. And, you know, I wish... I don't really have any regrets, but I wish I could go back to like 2018 where I was in that corporate job and start really building my brand. I was building my brand, but really for my company. Like, I would post a lot about what we were doing and logo, you know, stuff, doors that we were building. And it got me somewhat of a personal brand. But if I had have started in 2018 with my brand, I don't know where I'd be right now, but everything happens for a reason.
For sure.
But if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't know, like, I'm really happy in my job. Think about it this way. What if you're, especially in a big company where you have a lot of layers between you and the top, what if your CEO sees an amazing post you post on Instagram, LinkedIn, wherever, and knows who you are because of that? Internally, even in your company, there's a lot of value that can be brought from building your brand because those people are busy. But on Saturday when they're laying by the pool or golfing or whatever, and they're waiting for the next cart to go by, they might be on LinkedIn looking at your post. So you have to think about the value today. And then obviously the long-term value we've already talked about, it's huge, but it could make a big difference. And even that promotion that comes up next, hey, guess what? They saw your post for the last 30 days. You're the first person on their mind. There's so much value in that.
Oh, 100%. I say it all the time. Like, exactly what you just said. Like, I speak that same language all the time, because the way I always tell everybody, like, hey, like, if You know, if you're not doing, you do all the things, like, you know, like people like us, maybe we do a little bit more, but like, it's our business. Like it's part of what we do. Right. But I also love it. But at the same time, you know, like if you're not doing that, like you're invisible, like you're just, I don't want to say you're nobody. That sounds horrible. But like people, if you're not in front of people's faces all the time, they're just going to forget about you. Like with
like
the way,
a tree falling in the forest.
Yeah. It's like, oh, like you didn't even make a sound. Like I don't hear you talk. Like you're doing nothing to stand out. Like, you know, so, but again, just building, you know, just constantly, it's an attention game. I know you're a fan of Gary Vee, you know, you said it before, but like, just like Gary Vee says, I mean, it's attention. We're day trading attention all the time. And that's literally the name of the game. And like, you know, a lot of people I'll say like some criticisms over the years, like, oh, like you're like an attention whore, this and that. I'm like, listen, like, well, first of all, thank you, because clearly you're consuming my content. You're paying attention and it works.
I first heard that when I was 3 years old. That's literally my life story.
So yeah,
I got told that every day at corporate.
That's how, you know, like we were meant for this world, right?
Yeah,
like in this life. But like, but it's so true. Like, because, you know, if you're not always putting yourself out there, like you're out of sight, out of mind. With everybody has a million things going on. Everybody's busy, right? And if you're not, you know, constantly working on your personal brand, like you're just, you know, and not even just your personal brand, but you know, even just maybe segue a little bit into like, you know, a brand of like a business or a company, like it's the same thing. Like it's the visibility, just like you said about that attorney. If when you, whatever, I don't even know what he specializes in, you might have said it, but like whatever he specializes in, if you ever, like tomorrow, you need an attorney in that niche, guess who you're calling? You're calling him because, like you said, you see his content, he's top of mind always because of that, and you feel like you know him. And I think that's like one of the things that people overlook the most about any type of content, not just podcasts, but just anything. It's like, hey, you put out content around yourself, your brand, your business, whatever it is, and people feel like they get to know you. But and they do. And it's like, you know, obviously it's just like a digital get to know you, but like there's so much power in that, because it doesn't matter where you're at in the world nowadays. Like, again, like, you know, you're from the South, I'm from the North. Like, I mean, look at us right now. I mean, like the connections, by the way, shout out to Laura Mai for introducing and hooking us up here.
She's
but
she's a rock star.
She's the best. But again, like it's the same thing. It's just like, it's, you gotta constantly be out there. I know, you know, you're real big on networking and LinkedIn, and you built a very impressive, you know, network on LinkedIn, which, you know, I'd love to hear more about some of that too. But I think it's so important. I've always been big on, you know, branding, personal branding, networking, just constantly, you know, content, and just constantly building, because you never know who's watching.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I do want to add, I always like to talk about this because, you know, look, we're both gregarious, outgoing, like want to be in the spotlight people. I've been a singer since I was 3. That's why I said that about the 3 comment. You know, I've always loved a microphone. And I used to apologize for that and think like, oh, I should try to be less than. But I realized, I became a strengths coach through Gallup. And I realized that that's just how I'm wired. If I ran your strengths, they'd probably be pretty similar to mine. You probably lead with influencing, which is a really rare thing to lead with. So the point of this conversation is, if you don't want to be in the spotlight and you don't want to be shiny, bright, and pink all over all the time, you still should build a personal brand, but do it your way. Do it with your strengths. Maybe you don't want to post on social media 50 times a week. That's cool. It takes a lot of time and energy and honestly money to make that happen at a real great level. But you can still do things within your organization, within your industry, and on LinkedIn, it's pretty simple. You know, you don't even have to do video. You can just write a post and put a picture or whatever. So there's options. Don't let that deter you because you don't want to be that shiny influencer. I posted about that this morning. What you want to be is known. You don't want to be famous. You want to be known. And all good things come to businesses and people through attention. And that's bottom line. So you, currency of that is only going to increase. You know, Warren Buffett talks about leverage, that it's the ultimate thing in business and in life. And leverage right now is gotten through attention. And in history's past, it's been like oil or other things that people have gotten money through. Attention is the new oil. So you better cash in on it right now, because it's only going to get harder to get attention the longer you wait.
Oh, 100%. I could not agree more. And I've subscribed to this for like a long time. And like, same thing. I feel like sometimes I'm preaching to people like just one ear and out the other. But like,
yeah,
you know, it's so true. And it's only going to get harder. right? So like, just like you said, like if you don't do it now, like you're just, you know, you're going to get left behind, and it's going to be, it's almost going to be impossible for some people to catch up. But like you said, like you don't have to be like you were at. You don't have to, you know, if video is not your thing, you know, that's okay. But guess what? If you're a good writer, write. You know, you can do a you can do a newsletter. There's so many other things you could still do. So again, like, just like you said, you don't, it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be audio and or audio and video. Like, you know, maybe you can carve out, you know, a niche for yourself, you know, by just, you know, written word. And you know what? And there's still power in that too. And like you said, like, you don't have to invest in, you know, all kind, you know, kinds of crazy equipment and money and whatever to do that. And I always tell everybody, just like start somewhere small. Like everyone thinks like they want to try to like take on the world like tomorrow. And, you know, I mean, I do too, but I'm sure you do too, but
I have no words for that. Cause it's like, I want to have a Gary Vee content team. Like right now he spends like $1 million a month or something on content. Yeah. Like, why am I not doing that? Well, wait a minute. I don't have $1 million yet to spend on content yet. One day, hopefully I will, but it's, what can we do right now that we can also sustain? That's the thing. Like you could make 1,000 videos in the month of September. And if you never make another one again, no one's going to give a crap. So you've got to figure out how do you do something that you can actually do. And my best, you know, you mentioned LinkedIn. My best thing is just pick one platform first. And I pick LinkedIn. And I'm about to actually start posting videos on Instagram and TikTok like very soon. That's like, I've already filmed some. They're being edited now. So that's my next thing. I've started this podcast that I have, The Grit Blueprint. That's kind of starting to, you know, gain steam, but that's really just an experiment. Every time you add a platform, though, it convolutes things. So if you can start with just one and crush that first, then you know kind of how to move in the next a little different arena, but you already have experience and hopefully some wins. So that's cool. Don't try to do 14 platforms and post once a month. You'd rather just post 14 times on one place.
Yeah, agreed. 100%. Like, and even too, like, yeah, and if that doesn't work, well, then go on to the next one, you know, because some people might be like, oh, well, that one's not my thing. Well, it's like, okay, well, did you try it? And they're like, no. I'm like, well, then what are you talking about? You know, but again, if you try it and if it doesn't work, like that's okay too. You can always pivot. There's so many other platforms. You don't have to take on all of them at once. You don't have to do all the amount of content that like somebody like you and I are doing every day. But again, just start somewhere and just start, period. Like I think that's the biggest thing. And so many people are just too hesitant because they're afraid, like, oh, what are people going to think? Like, they're not going to like my black hat, or they're not going to like your pink hat. And it's like, first of all, I don't give a shit if anyone likes it or not.
Right? If you don't have good style, that's on you, not on me.
Yeah, right. We can't control that. Yeah.
It's not a Bill problem. That's a them problem.
100%. 100%. So I want to kind of go back a little bit. So take me back to like, you know, your corporate experience, your corporate job, and you know, maybe just tell me a little bit about that, and then kind of what, you know, what was the shift for you going from, you know, doing that to what you do now?
Yeah. So I started in a small family business in the lumber business. So that's taken a little further back, and I grew up doing that. I've always loved business. It was in Georgia. So Northeast Georgia in the mountains, if anyone's listening that knows where Clarksville, Georgia is, that's actually near where I live now. I'm back in the mountains. And it's a small rural area. So my dad had this really great business, and his dad before him had a lumberyard in Atlanta. Entrepreneurship runs in my family. I didn't know growing up really like what I was working in as far as like the amount of amazing things that was happening in that business every day. But I realize it now, especially now that I'm building my own business, how hard that is, how amazing it was that we stayed. We were open for 24 years and then we sold the location. But it was really cool to grow up in that movement. I loved sales from day one. I was a Girl Scout, competitive as hell. Like, I didn't care if you were walking down the hall or we were selling Girl Scout cookies. Like, I'm going to beat your ass. Like, there's no way I'm not going to win. It's just going to happen. So that's kind of how I grew up. And then I decided, for a lot of different reasons, my husband got on with a state law enforcement agency. We needed to live like in a certain place that was really too far to commute from my dad's lumberyard. And at the same time, he was ready to kind of sell. So I got this job at one of our vendors, which is a large corporation. It was a Fortune 500 company that also sold building materials. And at the time, they were starting their door division kind of from scratch. They had been open a little while, like a year or two, but very ground floor when I came in just as a salesperson. And I very quickly became, you know, one of the top salespeople in that location. And then through about 10 years of a journey, which we'll shorten way down for the part of this story, I actually pitched this job as a marketing person for my location. And then it kind of turned into me basically doing in-house marketing and consulting for the company for my division. So I would go around and, you know, go to Memphis and go to Texas and go to Florida and go to all these different places and help them with their marketing because it was very decentralized. Everybody's reinventing the wheel every single day. And so we would share best practices and try to help them with marketing and sales stuff and also growing the business. And then in 2020, I moved to Dallas, Texas. I had amazing timing. We moved in March of 2020.
Oh, perfect.
So perfect timing. The world was shut down. We drove everything we owned in a U-Haul to Texas with my husband never even being there before, never even seen the ground before he moved. So that shows you how amazing my husband is, who's also now co-founder of my businesses with me. But we moved and we set up this giant door shop, hired like 100 people, ordered machinery, did all the things. And it was a wild experience, especially during COVID. I mean, every day, no one knew what was going to happen in the business, but then you add COVID on it because it's a startup. It's like extra crazy. But we were within the big helm of a huge company that had CapEx that could write these big checks that gave us runway to, you know, win like 18, 24 months, you can make no money. It's cool. And that's not how it is in a small business, which we'll get to. We both know that. But it was a great experience. And then we did it again in 2021 in Houston. And then I stayed there until 2022 and actually took a little job somewhere else. I thought it was going to be awesome. Got the title and the money I thought I wanted. Hated it. Like from day one.
Why?
Pretty much.
Why'd you hate it?
It was just not a good cultural fit for me. It was kind of a boring job. They pretty much wanted to have me do like a lady who lunches type role for at least the foreseeable future, you know, going out with people and just like, hey, thanks for your business. Let me take you to Applebee's. Like that is just not what I wanted to do. I had been doing this like huge strategy work and growing some big thing. And I just didn't want to do ladies who lunch. I do like lunch, but I don't want to just do lunch, you know? Yeah. So anyway, after about 5 months, I actually got fired. And that was a cool story because I was going to quit in January anyway. I had already started my LLCs. They didn't know that at the time. I don't think. Maybe they did. I don't know. But it was kind of just the universe being like, are you ever going to do this thing? Because I've been fucking trying to tell you, like, let's go. You got this in you. Like, you got the fire. You got the skills. I've given you everything you need. Like, what are we waiting on? But I was so caught up in those golden handcuffs, like that security of that W-2 job that had the check and all the things. And also at this time, my husband had quit his job and we had moved to Florida. So when I got fired on November 1st, 2022, I had no job. He had no job. We basically had no like real nest egg. And we had just bought a big house and we had no health insurance. So we just decided that we were crazy enough to burn the boats and say like, we're just screw it. We're going to just see what happens. And it ended up working out. Not sure if I would give that advice to most people. We don't have kids. So, you know, we weren't completely irresponsible with like other people's lives, just ours. But that was in 2022. And it's been close to 2 years now. And it's been an amazing ride to have our own business. We have two businesses. And the hardest and the funnest thing I've ever done. And I can't wait to keep doing it. We're building a team and we've been scaling, a good bit. Excited about what we're doing. But man, it's kick in the face every day. And then a lot of like running through the Olympic medal run at the end of the day, kind of sometimes the same time. And sometimes literally both are happening with the same customer. You know, like you win big and you're like, man, this is going to suck. So it's just one of those things that I think it's entrepreneurship.
Yeah, that sums it up pretty good. And that, I mean, first of all, Steph, that's an incredible story. Both of you, I mean, obviously you getting fired. I mean, that was everything happens for a reason. That was meant to happen, right? That was your kick to go do what you're doing now. Like the final kick, anyway. Like you were already kind of there, right? It seems like you were
I should have done it when I left that corporate job from 10 years, and I know that now, but. The cool part about it is, and I'll say this, you know, because I think people listen to this. Number one, getting fired was a weird, weird thing. Like I'd never been written up in school, never been to the principal's office. I did get a lot of "you're talking too much" on my report cards. I'm sure that's shocking to all of the people listening, but I never got in trouble. I was a golden child all the time, pretty much. And so for me to get fired was like, holy crap. But I never even cried because I knew it was a wake up, like get out of this thing you're in. But I couldn't make myself do that first, like before I went to that next job. And one of the reasons was there was a few things, and I won't get into it because it's like weird building material stuff, but it was in a different part of the channel that I'd never worked in before. And so, and it was also in Florida, which is a totally different market as far as what they do and how they build. So I did get 5 months of experience in that part of the channel and in a totally different market that now I use every day. So I'm grateful for that 5 months. I'm grateful for that firing. I met a few people I actually really liked that are there. Some people that, you know, whatever, they were just a blip on the radar. But I think the biggest lesson I learned is like, even in the worst times, somehow you're going to learn from the experience. That failure, that lesson is somehow going to correspond with something later in your life. And a lot of the things that I learned at corporate that I thought were like, why am I having to do this? This is not my job. I'm not getting paid for this. I don't want, like, we paid these other people to do this. Guess what? Doing that thing taught me how to do this thing today. And I'm so grateful for it. So it's one of the biggest lessons is like, what you're bitching about is often what you're going to be able to capitalize on later. And the more it sucks up front, probably the more you'll be able to make money from it. Because if it's really hard and no one else knows how to do it, then you can probably make good money doing it.
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On The Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low-impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn.
We drive the same roads you drive. We face the same danger you face. When you're involved in a car or a truck crash, it's personal. Because we live here and raise our families here. We're invested here.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. And now we're back on the Stacks.
Oh, 100%. That's it. And it's like, it's kind of like, you know, when you think about discipline, right? Like, it's like you do the hard stuff now to make it easier down the road, where that's where most people, I think, get it wrong or go wrong. They, you know, they want to be comfortable now, but then guess what? Being comfortable now means being miserable later, you know, but then you throw discipline in the mix, which is kind of, you know, similar to what you're saying. It's like you do the hard stuff now so that you can set yourself up for all the different things down the road. And guess what? Then tomorrow is easier when you have discipline today. And it's like exactly what you're saying. It's like all those experiences, good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is, all of that like is very similar to, you know, you just being disciplined, just doing the work day in and day out. Didn't matter whose job it was, how much it sucked, you know, whatever it was, but like having those experiences obviously really shaped you for who you are today and gave you that confidence and gave you that experience and gave you all the tools and knowledge to really be able to excel at what you're doing now. And I think so many people like just they give up way too soon. They're so impatient and they don't have discipline. They lack the humility and all those different things that like, hey, like, you know, you may have to go do that thing for 1, 2, 5 years or whatever it is to then set yourself up for the next 30 years of your life. And I think so many people how do you look past that? Like, man, like I'd rather suffer for a few years and then be good for the rest of my life than the opposite.
Yeah. But we're conditioned as a society to want that instant gratification, number one. And also another thing that I think is really scary is you may not ever be able to get there. And that's one thing I think with the strengths stuff that I lean into is if it's kind of in your strength zone, it's your natural talent area, you probably will be able to exponentially grow that. If like for me, if I wanted to go be an accountant, I could probably do that. I'm physically smart enough to do this stuff. I would hate my life every single day. Like that was the first thing we outsourced in our business. Cause number one, I was like, I don't want to get in trouble with the IRS and all these other people. Like I don't need that in my life. So let's outsource bookkeeping. But secondarily, it's like, I would rather go use my sales powers to go make more money to pay for X than have to try to figure out this bookkeeping crap. So let's outsource that. But if I tried to lean into that, I couldn't grow exponentially in that because it's not my strength zone. So, you know, you have to know yourself also and be self-aware. And maybe you aren't ever going to be the best in the world at that thing. And you got to decide, are you okay with being like not the best in the world at that or really, really great at that and you're willing to still do it for that long? Or do you want to go do something else that maybe you can super thrive in? And sometimes we all have to do shit we're not good at, and that's just how life is. I still have to send invoices on QuickBooks right now. But if I want to get paid, I do it. So that's a pretty good vested
good interest incentive. There. Good incentive.
Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, there's still stuff I do every day that's like, why am I doing this? It's a waste of my time. And until I have someone else to do it that I can pay to do it, until I make enough money to outsource that or take the time to train the person, then that's on me. So that's a failure as a business owner or as a delegator, as Dan Martell says, like if you don't have an assistant, you are the assistant. Well, yes. That's a you problem. Like if I don't have an assistant that helps me, then that's a me problem for either not taking the time or not having the money to do it. So
yeah,
either way, it's a solvable problem. But the one thing I'll say I throw back to every single day, because we talked about how hard business is. Alex Hormozi says this, and I have this written on my desk. Volume negates luck. And that is the truest thing I've ever heard, because you are going to suck. Like the first time I posted on LinkedIn, really for my stuff, you know, I was trying to be like Tony Robbins or Sarah Blakely or whoever that I looked up to. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I eventually can be there, but the first post on LinkedIn, you're probably not going to get 5 million likes. I mean, maybe you go viral and you're just super lucky. But if you keep doing something long enough, volume negates luck. And then the other thing Alex says that I love is there are no silver bullets, only golden BBs. And I heard Dave Ramsey on a podcast a few weeks ago talking about, he got on Oprah, and this was like, for you Gen Zers that probably don't know what this means, the Oprah show used to be like the shit. Like if you got on Oprah, it was a career changer. Like Sarah Blakely does talk about that with Spanx. Like that was a big deal for her because it boosted sales for a long time. But Dave was talking about how basically he got on Oprah. He was on there. The sales spiked for like a week and then everything went back to normal. No silver bullets, only golden BBs. Every day, the little things that you do and you keep doing over and over and over are what will make you exceptional at whatever it is you choose to keep doing. And so if you choose to keep wasting time, you will be exceptional at that. If you choose to keep doing a job that you know is not what you want to be doing because it's safe, you will be exceptional at being safe. You will never be exceptional at going after what you want. And hey, it's up to that person to choose, because not everybody's going to go burn the boats like me and my husband and be a psycho and just quit everything and be like, I'm all in. But I knew at that moment that I would never have the hunger I had right then again. It was like I capitalized on that absolute. I had been in the cage in that like just hunger. And then I had physical, like we're about to not have money seriously to pay our bills if we don't go kill something and bring it home. And I would have never have had that. It was in a vacuum that moment. So like, thank you to the people who fired me. Like if they're listening to this, thank you. Because I would have never probably had the courage to do it by myself because I was making way too much money. And even if I had, it would have been like a trickle effect. You know, like I'm going to go a little bit, but boy, I got some rocket fuel up my tail pretty fast when that happened. So thank you for that.
Yeah. You know, it's so crazy, like how those things work out. You know, like I'll just share like a little quick story, like with me. So like the podcast, like, you know, my studio here that I'm in, the building I'm in, I bought this building 2 years ago, and I'll try to condense this story because it's kind of a long story. But I've been planning, you know, I was planning to leave my family's business for a few years, right? And it was right before I bought this building, there was a pending acquisition with my family's company, and that was, you know, I was gonna be exiting the company, and my dad retired, and I was, you know, trying to see it through to there, you know, for my dad and the company, there was a pending deal on the table then, you know, just a little over 2 years ago, and the company has since been acquired, by the way, and not the same person. I want to say that.
Okay. let's make that real clear.
Yeah. Yep. So,
we don't need any problems here.
Yeah. So yeah. So at the time, at the pending acquisition back then, when I started this podcast, I was doing it out of, you know, I said to my dad like 5 years ago when I started, I said, hey, can I just use that old office over there that's not being used? He said, yeah, sure. Yeah, go ahead, whatever, right? So, you know, my studio used to be inside the printing company, you know, off to the side somewhere. And I would do it, you know, on evenings and weekends. And anyway, fast forward to that pending was acquisition. The new owner calls me day one. Like, you know, we're like, I don't know, 30 or 60 days to close. Like, it's, you know, it's very, very close, right? But he calls me once it's like that, you know, I know, like, it's, you know, who it is now. And he's, you know, we're able to talk. And he calls me and he literally threw me out. He literally kicked me out. Like, I didn't get fired from my job. Like, I was still, you know, but
just no podcasting.
Yep. He's like, the crazy part was, you know, the agreement was, you know, supposedly, you know, him and my dad just had a verbal handshake, you know, gentleman agreement. They knew each other, and I know the guy too. But they, you know, they had a just gentleman agreement that, hey, you know, Bill's gonna still do this here. This is what he's doing. And he knew I was gonna be leaving too. Like, there was no secrets. It wasn't like, it wasn't like we lied or tried to hide anything, nothing like that. And, the guy pulled a complete 180, literally first day he called me, and his first words, like, besides like, hey Bill, it's Nate. And by the way, shout out to Nate, for throwing me out. Cause it was,
thank you to both the people who slighted us. We love you.
Yep. So he called me and, he's like, hey Bill, I do. I'm like, oh, good. He's like, hey, it's, you know, I'm glad we can finally talk about this, blah, blah. He goes, so first order of business, he's like, this is the exact words, you, the podcast, get out.
And I'm, he's like, really graceful about it.
Yeah. I'm on the phone, like literally 30, not even 30 seconds into the call, Steph. And he's like, get out, like in that tone. And I'm like, what? Like, I was so shocked and I didn't even know what to say or do. Plus also, like, I still needed my job at that time. So I couldn't be like, fuck you, Nate, even though I want to, but like, I held my cool and I was just like, wait, what? He's like, he goes, get out. And I'm like, huh? I didn't know what to say, you know? And he's like, he goes, I don't care where you go. I don't care if you move it into the basement of your house, you gotta go. And I'm like, wow, well, this conversation is off to a great start, Nate. Like, this is great, man. Like, yo. And
any other feedback for me?
Just curious. Yeah. What else you got here for me, Nate? So long story short is right after that conversation, I called my buddy who's a, you know, real estate agent. And coincidentally, I happened to be looking, I was actually looking to buy my first rental property, just not a commercial building. And I was actually looking to buy, a residential, you know, like a 2 or 3 or 4 unit. I called him. I said, hey bro, cancel that showing. Find me a commercial building tomorrow. and then within a couple weeks, I found this building. I bought it, and you know, the rest is history. And obviously, right after I bought this building, then Nate ended up, he got cold feet, backed out of the deal. Yeah. And, you know, so all for nothing, you know. But like I said, I'm grateful for it. I mean, I haven't spoken to Nate, you know, since then. And, not that I wouldn't, but, I'll definitely, give him some shout outs now. And, cause I couldn't tell that story up until not long ago. Because, you know, I couldn't speak about anything really up until, you know, a few months ago, actually just a couple months ago. So I'm finally glad now that I'm actually able to, reveal his name and give him the biggest shout out for throwing me out under the terms he did, because it's
awesome how life does that with you though. Like, you, at the moment, I'm sure you were like, I mean, you pivoted pretty quickly, but there have been times in my life, seriously, where I'm like wallowing in my sorrow for however long, like, why me? Why is this happening? Right. Why did this person do this?
Yep.
I deserve this. I've worked for this. And it ended up being the biggest grace. Like, thank you for not giving me that thing I asked for. And thank you for protecting me from that thing that I wanted so badly. Like, I was so certain I could see myself there. And I'm so glad I didn't go there, because I wouldn't be here where I really should be had I not said no or gotten told no to that other thing.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, same thing with me. Like you said, like, had he not thrown me out, I wasn't planning on buying, you know, I was going to, you know, eventually then buy a commercial building, because I was gonna have to put myself somewhere. And I, you know, I've always been interested in real estate and, you know, having my own portfolio of real estate. And I didn't want to go rent somewhere, because we all know rent prices, but yeah. So like you said, same thing, like, you know, when that happened, I also kind of panicked, but at the same time, I took action. I think, you know, obviously in a lot of situations like that, some people, like you said, they might just like curl up in bed at home and be like, oh, like, woe is me. Like, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, my life's over, this and that. Like, to be honest, like, you know, I'm not gonna lie, there was a little part of me that was like, oh fuck, like, I'm screwed. Like, what the hell am I gonna do? And like, he didn't give me like a hard deadline, but he's like, get out. I'm like, well, when? And like, I'm like, do I have to be out by a certain time? He's like, well, sooner than later. And I'm like, okay.
By noon will be fine.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll give you a whole 4 hours.
Yeah. But yeah, by noon today, right? I'm like, oh, okay, sure, no problem. But yeah, so like, I ended up finding this building like very, very soon after. And like, you know, right when I walked in, I'm like, that's it. I'll take it, buy it, you know, whatever. And, you know, had a little bidding war, and, you know, ends up all working out. But yeah, like, you know, but I think the biggest thing is just taking action. You know, and I think that's one thing. And, you know, even myself, like, I mean, I even struggle with it sometimes too. I'm not saying like I'm perfect with it, right? But in situations like that, or in any situation where there's uncertainty, or you don't know what to do, or if you're stuck at something, like, even if it's just get up and simply just walk, like, sometimes, you know, even just like a writer's block or whatever it is, like just getting up, physically getting up and, you know, taking action physically, mentally, I think that really helps alleviate a lot of that, like, worry and stress. And it's just a matter of like, okay, hey, all right, we want to bitch and whine and cry for a few minutes. Okay, no problem. We all do it, right? You know, however, you know, once you get a little past that, hopefully sooner than later, then just take some action, set some, you know, put a plan in place, you know, just do something, put some actionable steps down on paper. Because once you start like actually acting on something, like, it's going to happen, like, it's literally going to happen.
And also, the thing about action is it's not going to be perfect. You have to take imperfect action and know that you are going to screw up a lot. Like, you're going to do left when you should have gone right. And you're going to have to turn around. And sometimes that's going to be a really painful U-turn or expensive U-turn. I mean, we've learned a lot fiscally. I'm like, okay, that was a $10,000 lesson. Okay, that was an $8,000 lesson, you know. And I'm glad it's an $8,000 lesson, not an $80,000 or $8 million lesson. Give me the hard lessons at $8,000. I'll take them all day long. I don't want them, but if I have to have them, I'll take them at a lower interest rate.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's also knowing that, like, you are going to make the wrong decision. If you're an action taker and you're a decisive person, which I've always been very decisive in my life most times. There's been times, obviously, where I've struggled with that certain decisions. But if you can say, like, I'm going left, and then you just go. And if you have to turn around, you're cool, just go do it. Then you're going to go a lot further in life, because somebody that waits at the stop sign, what if left was the right choice? And now I'm all the way down the road and you're still standing at the pivot. So you got to make a decision. You got to go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So like at your pivot moment, you know, when, and you and your husband, you dove into what you guys are doing now, like, you know, like, obviously, you know, you talked a little before, but like, how'd that feel? And like, what'd you guys, you know, like, what was like your plan? Obviously, like, at first you didn't really probably have a plan, right? And then you're like, oh shit, now we got to have a plan. So like, how'd that work out for you? And like, how did your business like start to grow and evolve?
The funny part is we actually kind of did have a plan, because we'd already started those LLCs, and I had two or three big problems that I knew could be solved in my industry, specifically in my niche, which is building industry, construction industry stuff. And the three problems that I had identified were huge labor shortage. So giant labor shortage in general, very little or no training in the industry. So people are like, hey, go sit by Bill and listen to him talk about this for a few hours and I'm sure you'll get it. And it's like 20 years worth of knowledge that Bill's trying to impart into you in like 5 minutes. And also including the computer system and all these other things you have to learn. And then the third thing really was that I saw this need for marketing and branding in our industry, because it's not sexy like tech. People don't really value and this is a generalization, but most people don't think a lot about branding. They don't think a lot about how to become the brand of choice. They don't think about the next generation of customers, which is one of the biggest problems I see is like Gen Z and millennials are going to be a different type of buyer, an employee and a client. Then what boomers and Gen X have been, they're going to find you online. They're going to want to know about your personal brand as a CEO or as a company. They're going to want to know all these things that people aren't putting out there, especially in my industry. So I saw this big blue ocean and I saw that before I got fired. So I started an LLC and I started very quietly laying seeds and asking questions and doing things. And then once I got fired, I had already sort of started paving that road. So I was able to get my first client, a retainer client, within 20 days. And so that was cool. But the first thing we did, and I don't think I've ever told this story like on a podcast or anything. So it's kind of cool. You're getting some original content. The first thing that happened was I went home and I said, I just got fired. And my husband was like, okay, it's going to be okay. You know, like white, like, oh fuck. That's what he said with his face was it's going to be okay. But he was saying, oh fuck with his body. And so we went into this room and we had those 3M sticky notes, like the big giant ones. And we wrote down, I just started writing and we wrote down every single thing we knew that could make us money from like Uber to, you know, like all kind of other stuff. And I also wrote down every person I knew that I could either ask for a job or asked to work for them as a marketing consultant or doing something with the business. Like, and we had over 100 people on that list between ideas and people and companies and all that immediately within like an hour. And I looked around the room and I have some pictures of it. And there was just all these, and I said, we have to do this. Like, we just have to go for it. And we're going to figure it out. It's going to be horrible and awful and fun at the same time. And we're going to figure it out. So that's what we did. And I just started making phone calls and calling people in my network. And that's where networking, like I already had a personal brand within my world. It just wasn't like out into the real world. It was in my little circle of building materials. So I leveraged that and I called and I asked and just things started happening. And God, it took what seemed like a long time. I remember at Christmas, we were living in Orlando at the time. So we came up to my in-law's house and we were laying like groundwork to try to get several deals, but none of them had hit yet. And I'm like, if this doesn't hit this month, like we're not going to be able to pay our mortgage. And it was like Christmas and we could have borrowed money. Like we could have done stuff, but like, I didn't want to have to do, we could have moved stuff around. And like 2 days later, the call came in like, we're good, let's do it. And then I'm just like, okay, can you send the money like right now?
could you pay the invoice yesterday, please?
If you don't mind, I know it's going to be like 2 weeks before we do anything because it's Christmas, but like, I really need you to be my guardian angel right now and send this money. And so that was the first time I ever made a dollar for myself other than just like one-off stuff that I'd done, you know, in school, making money as a singer or whatever. But there was just a lot of like hard, scary moments. But I always had this vision that if we could just get through that part to where we could breathe again, that it wouldn't be like easy, but it'd be at least where we could breathe. And so that's kind of like the steps that we took. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't say I have some people in my life, and I talk a lot about the women stuff, but mostly men in my life that were, because those were the people that were the principals in these companies that were so damn supportive of me. Gave me advice. And I had some women too, a few women that called me and like coached me through how they priced their consulting, how they did stuff that I was trying to do, how they got started, and really bled into me that first month or two. And at the same time, I started posting every single day on LinkedIn without fail, every single day. And I was spending time commenting and building an audience and learning how to do that. So I immediately knew like, I've got to get as far out there into the attention, be seen everywhere. That's been my motto since the first day. I'm sure that pisses a lot of people off and I'm okay with that because the ones that it doesn't piss off are calling me to do business with me because now they figured out they need to be seen everywhere too and that I can help them do that. So that's kind of how it started. And this whole branding thing, personal branding thing sort of came out of that LinkedIn, of my LinkedIn blowing up organically. I started getting speaking engagements from Walgreens and Verizon and all these other things just organically coming to me through LinkedIn. Hey, would you like to speak here? And I was already doing some speaking, but I got my first keynote in January of 2021. Shout out to Lori who gave me that. And my friend Thea actually is kind of the one that made that happen. And that wasn't that long ago. 2022. I don't even know what year this is.
It's all right. Neither do I.
Okay, I'm going to correct this again for the third time because I don't know what I'm talking about. January of 2023 was the first keynote I ever did. And that came from my friend Lori and my friend Thea that just basically gave me a shot at this event. It was probably like 100 people. I think it was a credit union speaking engagement. I'd done a ton of panels, a lot of podcasts, but never like a keynote where Stephanie Couch on the keynote banner, you know? And that was awesome. And that was the start. So like 2023, I had never done a keynote in January, did that. And since then, in the last 2 years, I've done a ton of speaking, which has been one of my favorite things. I'm getting a lot more of those organizations calling me for that. And it's all pretty much been paid. You know, that's obviously growing as I grow my brand. But that's so cool to me that within, you know, 2 years, like so much has happened. And if I had just not ever done that first one, you know, so somebody gave me a shot that first time, like you have to do your first one. Just really thankful for all the people that have made what has happened to me and my husband be possible in the last 2 years, because it wouldn't have happened without them.
Yeah. You touched on it a little bit, and I want to ask you a little bit about it and talk about it is, you talked about the men in the industry, right? You know, being, you know, your industry, you know, the construction industry being obviously a, you know, male dominated, right? Like, you know, what has been your experience? You know, you said obviously you had some good experience, but maybe there's been some bad too. I'm not really sure, but I'm curious, like what your experience has been like as a female leader in a male dominated construction industry.
You know, my perception of this has changed a lot in the last few, I'll say the last year or so. But when I was at corporate, I was kind of like everybody's, you know, it was hard. I mean, it was really hard a lot of times. I was usually the only woman in my customers, in my vendors, and my team. Like if we, once we got up to a certain level, if we went to meetings or something like whatever we were doing, it was me. And like I was showing up in a floral print dress and no hat at the time. Because I wasn't allowed to wear them, but floral print dress and pearls and lipstick, and everybody else is wearing like khakis and a polo shirt and a management vest. Cause that's a must. You have to have that Columbia fleece vest or you are
got to. Yeah.
I mean, it's in negotiating is not, that's if you want to get a manager role, that's all you gotta do.
You have to have
that
on your resume nowadays, I think, right?
For sure. 100%. Yeah. So if you're trying to get a good promotion, just buy a management vest.
Get a nice vest.
But, anyway, a lot of those guys were amazing to me. Like they were so awesome to help me learn, to help me grow, to teach me, to tell me when I was out of line. Like there were a lot of people that are awesome. There were also some not so awesomes. So I saw a lot of things happen to other women, started mentoring, you know, people that would come to me and ask other women. That was the biggest thing. It's just like, hey, I'm different than these people. And I don't even see anybody to really ask. Thank God I had an executive coach who was an amazing woman. Her name was Diane Morrison, and she changed my life forever. She is really one of the big reasons why I'm here. And she recently passed away last year, and very unexpectedly. But she knew how much I loved her and how thankful I was. And she told me some things that just really allowed me to believe that I could do really this business on my own. She didn't tell me to go out on my own, but I was asking her a lot of questions about how she did it. And she was very encouraging there. And then I also had a female mentor at the company who taught me a lot, did a lot for me, but she wasn't in the segment of business I was in. So she was kind of way up the chain and doing a lot of other stuff. So it was a little different. Sometimes I needed like a salesperson to say, hey, go do this. And most of the time the guys crushed it. Like they gave me great advice. They helped me a lot. But I didn't realize at the time. And what I realize now is that difference was actually a giant differentiator. And only if I chose to make it a positive differentiator could it be. And so I want the women that are listening to this, hear me say, you will probably be discriminated against, held back because you're a woman, but you can also be put to the forefront and promoted and vindicated and done all these amazing things that you get opportunities for because you're a woman. Because there are a lot of times where I would be given an opportunity because I was a female that was young and blonde and bubbly in this position where the males were all not given that spotlight because there was 10 of them that looked just alike. They're all wearing management vests. So I don't think I realized that until recently, that it was an opportunity for me. I've always had this little saying that I say, you got to play with the cards you're dealt. And I was dealt a deck of cards just like everyone else. And you can either choose to sit around and be like, God, I wish I had this card. Or you can play the hand you're dealt the freaking best you can. And when you play that hand and you know what your hand is, you can win the game. And you may not win every round, but you will win the war if you play with your hand. And that is how I see it now for women, is like, there should be more women in construction. I think women don't understand the amount of absolute vast opportunity there is to just crush it in this whole arena, because there is not enough people, period. Whether they're men, women, doesn't matter, race, color, any of that. We just need people to work in this industry. There's 500,000 jobs short right now, and over 25% of the labor is going to retire in the next 5 to 10 years. And those people are actually the people running the industry in a lot of cases. They're not like the, you know, entry level positions. They're like big management positions that will be gone. They're going to retire. So you got 500,000 short, you got 5 to 10 years, and another 25% are going to retire. That's a huge Red Sea parting, is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
You can walk right through that to the promised land. Like, you, men or women, this is true for any gender.
Opportunity.
But for women, like, do you know that I know people in this industry that make over $1 million in sales jobs a year selling lumber?
That's wild.
They also spend a ton of time doing like fun stuff like hunting and fishing and taking their customers to eat and drink bourbon. Like, holy crap, how did I not apply for that job? And I thought management was the way. Yeah. But the truth is, it's not every single job. But what if you could make 100K doing it or 150K doing it? That's totally doable. Like, I know tons of people doing that. And it's not just sales jobs. That's just obviously what I love and what I did in marketing and all that. But there's operations jobs you can make that. There's jobs in the trades. You can own your own business. I mean, come on. There's so many opportunities. So for women hearing this, I'll say, stop thinking about what you can't have, what you have against you, because you cannot change that. That's the biggest thing. I would like rail, well, they said this, they did this. I mean, I was fired the fuck up all the time about it. And it still doesn't mean what they said or did wasn't wrong. Like, it probably was. But I also think, did I think they said this because I was a woman and really they just don't like me as a person? Or maybe I'm too aggressive for their taste and they don't like the way I came at this situation? Probably wasn't because I'm a girl. It's just because they didn't like Stephanie. And that's cool too. Like, some people are just going to hate you. And honestly, as Taylor Swift says, like, just shake it off. I don't care. Like, everybody cannot win everyone over, period. And that's a big lesson I've learned. So for women out there, go find a place you can absolutely just smash it and go at it as hard as you can and use that difference as your differentiator. Stop trying to figure out why and what they said and how they meant it. Just shake it off and go do your thing. Just keep going.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to kind of echo what you said, and, you know, like, even like me, a little personal, like, you know, story with me is like, I feel like most of my life up until maybe even just like, I don't know, maybe a few years ago or so. And I've shared the story before is, and I think that everyone can relate to this because everybody has lived this way and or felt this way. And probably there's probably a ton of people watching and listening to this that are still feel this way, right? Is you go through life thinking, especially as a kid, right? Especially when you're younger, you know, middle school, right? And then in high school, you go through life kind of feeling and or maybe even being told by society to fit in, right? Yeah. And my whole life as a kid, even into like adulthood, I struggled to like really fit in anywhere with like any one crowd. I was the guy who I was like friends with everybody, but friends with nobody. You know what I mean? Like, meaning I just had a lot of like, you know, like, hey, like, oh yeah, we know each other, you know, like we
the
don't hang out.
In-between guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So like, you know, of course I had, you know, my core, like, few friends growing up, but like, other than that, like I was never like the, you know, the cool kid per se, like, you know, and like I never really fit in. I always struggled with that. Like, I didn't fit in anywhere. And like, I was never like accepted, you know, like, you know, at like the cool table or wherever I thought like was like where you were, like you thought you needed to be. And, you know, like I didn't realize it maybe until a few years ago, you know, after I really kind of honed in like my brand and me and all that, that like every one of us, like we're not meant to fit in. Like we're meant to stand out. You know what I mean? Like, take you, for example, like the way you dress and like your hat, like your style, your fashion, like everything about you and just everything, like, it you stand out, and like that's the whole point. You don't want to fit in. You don't ever want to fit in, because then, just like you said, the 8 guys that all wear the same khaki pants and wear the same polos or vests or whatever it is, they all look the same. And it's like, guess what? You look like everybody else. And when you look like everybody else, guess what? You get forgotten about. And, you know, like, again, so like me, you know, personally for me, it's like I struggled most of my life with like, I felt like I never like fit anywhere, but like then when I find the light bulb finally went off, like I'm a bit of a slow learner, but I learned, right? Is that like it was like that for a reason. Like, you know, I was never meant to fit in anywhere. Neither were you, and neither really is anyone really. But like, you know, not a lot of people I think ever realize that. And it's kind of sad to see like some people go through their whole life, like maybe not understanding and figuring that out, you know? So like, I encourage everybody like, hey, you know, like, you know, so what if you don't fit in? So what if you don't have many friends? Like, listen, I'm fine with like two friends. I don't want any more friends. I don't know about you, but like, listen, I don't need more friends.
Yeah. You know? And the thing about it is like everybody you know of that's, we'll say famous or whatever. Like I think about Dolly Parton, you know, like she talks about, she literally modeled her image after a prostitute or a lady of the night that she saw in town when she was a little girl. And she's like, I want to look just like that. And everybody else was like, oh my gosh.
Like, what the hell?
Like, no, yeah. That's for real. That's what I want to look like. Cause she looked like no other woman she'd ever seen. She had on bright red lipstick and platinum blonde hair and big fake boobs probably. And she looked different. And that's what stood out. And who knows, anybody that looks or acts like Dolly Parton, she is literally of one of zero. There's no one else like her. And she has built an absolute empire.
100%.
And so that's the cool part is, even if you don't want to build an empire, you think we're talking crazy talk, you can still stand out. And for those guys in the management vest that I kind of make light of, there's still a way for you to stand out too. Like, you don't have to assimilate if you don't want to. You can still wear a different color management vest, like maybe not black or gray. I mean, there are ways to, with branding, for you to stand out. And maybe it's what you talk about. Maybe it's the boots you wear or like the way that you show up in the room. There's a way to have a brand where you aren't like maybe Dolly Parton, but you're still different. And the biggest thing, we've both mentioned it several times, is you want to be remembered. Like, if you're the person that's in the middle, you're not remembered for being really good and you're not remembered for being really bad. You're just not remembered. You're just one of those people in the mix. That's not good. Like, long term, you're going to get forgotten about, because if you aren't remembered, you aren't remembered. You're forgotten. So you want to think about that when you're building your brand, whether you're a business owner or an entrepreneur or just somebody in corporate working for someone else. How do you stand out so that you're remembered? And you're almost irreplaceable. Everybody's replaceable. Everybody's told me that my whole life. And I do believe technically that's true. But man, some people are harder to replace than others. I heard this saying, I don't even know what podcast this was, in my event on Instagram. It was like, if someone tells you that person's going to quit, like if I say, hey, Bill's about to quit, and you literally feel like you're going to throw up and you'll do anything to stop that person from leaving because they're that valuable, they stand out that much to you, that's the type of person you want to be. Like, if you're like, man, that really sucks, but you can live with it, that's not what you, that's a B player or B plus, whatever. But if you have like an A plus player that's a unicorn for real, and they tell you they're going to leave, like, the whole world stops.
Yeah, you know it. You know it then.
That's the type of person you want. It's like, how do we live without this person? And that's the type of person you want to be for your business, whether it's your clients that feel that way or it's, you know, you internally in a company. That's how you want it to be.
100%. By the way, did you, I'm hoping you did because you've said it a few times. Have you read the Blue Ocean Shift book?
Yeah. So it's been a long time since I read it.
Yeah, that was like, well, me too. It's been a little while too.
Yeah, but it's such a good concept. And I try to think about that a lot when I do things like, is this red ocean that I'm swimming in with all the sharks that also have already been in there forever? Cause they're bigger, they're faster, they're richer than me for sure. These big companies, what can I do that's like where I can be a little fish out there just crushing it in the blue ocean?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I read it too. You know, somebody else that was on my podcast, Dr. Jill Murray, she's the president of Lackawanna College, a regional college here in the area up in Scranton. She sent me a few books, and I'm very grateful for that. And she's always been supportive of me and the show here and you know, my entrepreneurial journey. But yeah, she sent me that book, The Blue Ocean Shift. I think that was the first book actually that she gave me. But yeah, I mean, like you said, like, you know, it's been some time for me too, but you know, just that concept of, you know, reading that book. And I would highly recommend it to anyone, like if you haven't read it, you know, to be able to learn and understand, you know, understand that, like, it's, I think it's crucial, because to be honest, like until I read that book, like I was like, I never even heard of like anything. You know what I mean? Like I read that book and I'm like, oh wow, okay, this makes sense. And I remember like literally texting Jill. Like I like at one point throughout the book, I literally just sent her a text and I don't even remember what I said. I thanked her again like for the book, but I said something that like she knew that like, okay, Bill gets it. And because her response was, okay, so you get it now. And I'm like, 100%. I'm like, yeah. So thank you. You know, so, you know, I heard you, you know, I want to ask you about it because you've said it probably, you said, you know, Blue Ocean a few times at this point. I'm like, she's had to have read that book. You know, not, you know, it doesn't come up in conversation all the time, you know, and, you know, so like when it does, like I like to talk about that because, you know, again, that's been a book that I've, you know, I found pretty helpful. But, you know, so along the lines though, you know, like with, you know, the initiative to get more women in the construction industry. You know, tell me more about like what you're working on with that.
So I have a company called Build Women, and it is part of my business strategy basically to help women and companies through education. So that training part that I talked about, one of those big problems that I saw was a lot of women either never come in because they don't see the opportunity here, and they also sometimes are in a culture that's just not great. Like there are, I don't want to act like everything is amazing in every company. There are companies people go to, they work in, that women are not treated well. It's not a great place for them. So that still happens. Find somewhere that's not that place, hopefully. But how do you retain and recruit and then develop those talent pools to continue to grow in your company? So that training is really a big part of it. And also the speaking and some of the things that I do, we do a lot of that with Build Women. And then I also do branding coaching with women. So I have a lot of clients. A lot of them are in the construction industry. Some of them are not, but I help them build their personal brands. A lot of them are either coaches, consultants, speakers, things like that. Maybe business owners that want to grow their business, sometimes startup owners, those types of people. So Build Women is doing that. And then I have Grit Blueprint, which is really helping the construction industry as a whole. And that's that marketing and branding. And a lot of that goes into that training portion of, you know, how do we actually make this work for your company when you're busy? You already have a million things going on. You know it's important, but it's just not the most important thing for your team. So we really bring a fractional marketing team in to do that. So that's really what I'm doing on both businesses, kind of similar, but one's more women centric and the other one's not.
Yeah, that's cool though. I mean, like they all still, you know, I'm sure work somehow hand in hand, and I'm sure there's a lot of full circle moments between, you know, between all the things that you do. You know, I see that in my life too. You know, we and working on different things, and sometimes when you say like, oh, like not that they're not related, but you know, there ends up being like a lot of crossover. So it's really cool to see that you're doing that, obviously, and taking the time and you know to do that. I think that's so important, and you know, especially like the training part. You know, there's, I forget the saying and I'll probably like butcher it, but like, it's like when it's something like you have employees and it's like, you don't take the time or effort or spend the money to train them to make them better. And it's like, you know, but then you're like, oh, like they might leave, but it's like, well, what if they stay? You know, like if you don't take the time to really build that person up, then like, you know, it's like, what happens if they stay and they just then stay that way forever? And it's like,
and hopefully they don't, but a lot of times those people move up in your company and they're actually the ones making big decisions and really shaping the culture and the business of the company. Those are the ones that a lot of times get promoted, which is so scary. And I've seen that a lot in corporate America and small businesses, like, hey, well, you know, Stephanie's been there long enough, and I mean, there's really nobody else, so like, I guess we'll just give her this spot just because it opened up. And it's like the worst fit ever. Even if I'm good at one thing, it's like, let's just put her here because it's the only thing that we can promote her to.
Yeah.
And then I'm miserable, you're miserable, everybody's miserable. It's like not a good business strategy. So
yeah,
it's about figuring out also what people want to do and what they need to do for your company to be successful. And another thing that I haven't mentioned is I've gotten the opportunity to hire a lot of women in the last 2 years, and I'm building out this badass team. And a lot of those people are young women. And that has been just one of the greatest joys of my life, you know, totally, absolutely loving that. Some of them worked with me in my previous life. Some of them I've met along the way. Laura's one of them.
I was just going to say, Laura's one of them, right?
Yeah. And just absolutely just adore these girls and women. And some of them are very young, and it's just like, hell yeah, this is literally what I wanted. When I left, I had this vision of Build Women, and this is what it was. Even if we weren't doing all stuff for women, I don't even care about that. Like, we're just building businesses and helping people thrive. And we're a bunch of women that are doing it. And my husband obviously is here too. So he's the token, and we have some other guys, but it's just mostly a team of women, which is really cool for me to be able to flip that switch a little bit and they're the most qualified people. So I'm hiring them because they're the most qualified and they're awesome. And I love working with them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, really cool to hear about Laura too. And, you know, before we came out, I was telling you, like, you know, I only, you know her, just met her just through, you know, LinkedIn, through social media and being on her show. And, but she seems like, you know, obviously she's gonna be a great asset to you and your company, everything that you're doing and you're building and your team. But you know, like even for me, like even just the little bit that she's, you know, helped me just from the relationship, the short relationship that I've had with her, you know, she's been an asset even to me, which is really cool to see. So it's, you know, obviously you have somebody good there, which is great. And obviously I'm sure you have a great rest of your team as well. But yeah, it's
really
cool
special people that go. I think the thing that most of my team has, that it's probably one of our biggest core values, is that hunger. You have to want more. Like, our business is too early in the phase of like startup, whatever, to have someone who just wants to do like this little box and like never ever expand or have ideas or change things, or everything's worked out and there's no kinks. Which, if you meet a business that has that, please let me know. I've never seen it. But if you're growing and you're hungry, you can be a great asset. But if you're also like amazing and smart and you add that to that hunger, oh my gosh. And I've got several women like that are just absolutely amazing. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, that is. Anything else you're working on?
So I have the podcast, The Grit Blueprint, and I mentioned the Instagram content, doing a lot more of that. I have a lot of speaking engagements coming up in the fall, doing probably more keynotes than I've ever done in a short span of time. So that's been really cool. And we're working with a company on our education platform that's called D2L Brightspace. And talk about another team of just amazing women that I've been partnered with. We had some men too, but mostly the women have taken over the handling of the account, and they're helping me like figure out exactly how to build this education platform out for the construction industry. So that's been super cool. I think the partnerships has been the best part of this business. You know, networking and relationships has always been really important to me, but I've just seen that come to fruition. You know, we have a software company that we partner with. It's called Paradigm, and they are building out all these amazing tools for people in the window and door industry to quote and sell doors very easily. It's technology, which is kind of scary to a lot of people in our industry. And so we worked on a few projects with them, and we're working on something bigger with them to help them continue to expand in the industry. And that type of partnership is just so cool. And when I started this, I started writing in my journal every day, impossible brand partnerships. And I'm putting that out there into the universe again. Like, I write that every single day, impossible brand partnerships. What is something that in 2022, if I sat down and wrote this person's name down to be on my podcast, or if I sat down and said, I want this person to want to work with me as a company, what are those names? And a lot of those names that I've written down are now either in the works or have already come to me. And that is amazing. Everyone won't work, but it's really cool to see that happening. So, you know, if you're an amazing brand in the building industry and you want to work on something, like, let's do it. I'm ready to go. Let's talk about it.
That's exciting. It's super. You got a lot of really cool things going on. I love what you're doing. I love all the initiatives. So, you know, if anyone that is listening and, you know, may think that, you know, you might be able to help them, you know, how can they contact you? Like, where are you at online?
Yeah. So I'm on LinkedIn almost every single day, Stephanie Couch, and my name is spelled with an F instead of a PH. So Stephanie with an F, and I will be wearing a hat, so you'll probably know it's me.
Can't miss
but it. But LinkedIn's an easy way to find me. And then I also have a few different websites, stephaniecouch.com and our Build Women website and Grit Blueprint website. So even if you're not in the building industry, would love to chat with you. I do a lot of stuff with the personal branding around building, you know, brands on LinkedIn and building businesses for people. So I have several clients in other industries like real estate and several other like totally unrelated industries. But if you want to talk about that, that's where to find me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think networking is huge. It seems like you're a master networker, which I love. I always love being connected to other really great people that are really great at networking. So I'm great. Yeah. I'm grateful, you know, that we met. I'm grateful we're able to, you know, this has been scheduled for quite some time now. So I'm glad we finally, you know, got some time to hop on here and chat. And I'm looking forward to seeing you grow and do more cooler, bigger things. And, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking again. This obviously isn't going to be the
same for you.
Yeah. This isn't gonna be the last of our conversation. And, you know, like I said, like, you never know where things go. Like you said, like even if somebody just wants to reach out to you and just talk about networking or something else, not even construction related, like obviously, you know, I'm sure you're willing to help them. I'm sure you can help them somehow, but just like, again, just the networking aspect alone. I mean, like the craziest thing, and we were just talking right before I came on, and you knew I was going to Africa. I just got back from Africa not long ago, but because we were talking before I went, and the craziest thing happens, like to prove how small of a world it is. You ready for this? And we'll end on this, to talk about the power of networking and just meeting somebody, just like having a conversation, right? So when we were in Africa, I did 4 podcast episodes there. The first half of the trip, the place that we stayed at, I didn't realize going into it that like it, I mean, I knew it was big, but I didn't know it was this big. And there was like, you know, like a, it was like a hotel, but like kind of not, it was like very private. But there were other people from around the world also staying at this place that we were at. And, you know, they were doing different things than us. And, you know, there's places so big, that you hardly see each other, only see each other, like, you know, a little bit throughout the day. And so, one of the episodes that I did, was with, let me just say this. So three of the episodes were people from, most of them were from, you know, Africa, Kenya, right? So, but there were 2 from the United States, and this one female from California, who, again, she didn't know who she was, just happened to meet her at the same place we were staying at this place at Moli's, and met her, ended up like, we had some extra time, and she was about to, and she's like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? We got talking, right? So she's like, hey, if you have time or want to get another episode, she's like, I love hopping on shows, like, you know, let me know. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe. And then like next day, I'm like, hey, we had some extra time. I'm like, hey, I'd love to have you on. Like, let's talk about it. She was very interesting. And long story short, fast forward, just a couple days ago. So again, we did the recording. Just a couple days ago, she texted me and she goes, I'm at a conference right now. And I don't even think she said where it was. And she's in California, by the way. And I'm in Pennsylvania, complete opposite sides of the country, right? She texts me and she goes, hey, I'm at a conference right now, and I just met a guy who was on your podcast. And I'm like, what?
So cool.
She said, I'm at a real estate conference. And right when she said that, I had a good feeling of who the person was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, was it Josh Axe? That's the guy's name.
Yeah.
And she goes, she's like, no, she's like, it was so-and-so. And she sent me the Instagram page of one of his team members, one of his guys.
Okay.
And she sent me that, and I'm like, oh, I'm like, he works for Josh. And then I sent her Josh's too. And she's like, oh yeah, I met him too. She's like, I met both of them. And I'm like, we're both That's like, so holy cool. shit. Like, we just met in Africa, and within 2 weeks after or less of being home from Africa, you know, again, I don't even know where the conference was. It might've been California, might've been Arizona. I'm not sure. Cause Josh spends part of his time in Arizona and part of his time here in our town in PA. But, she just randomly ran into these guys from my hometown at this conference, and don't even know how I or we even came up. I didn't even ask, but she was just like, I just met these guys and like, they know you. And I'm like, oh yeah. Like, I had him on the show. Like, Josh has been on my show twice, and he was just on not long ago, like, recently, for the second time. But like, again, like,
you
just
never know where connections are going to take you, right? Or the person you're connected with is going to help you get something, or you're going to help them get something. Or, I mean, maybe you work together. You just never know. And that's the coolest part, is don't think about it as the here and now, like, what can I get from this right this second? Because it might be like 10 years before you ever even do anything. I have a really good friend. She's one of my best friends. I walked into her real estate office almost four years ago now. I was getting lunch. My husband and I were on our way to our concert out of town. Happens to be where we live now. We go in her real estate office, and I came down and I said, hey, I've been looking at these townhouses online. I'd like to go look at them. And she was like, well, okay, like, let's ride down there. And I just really liked this girl. Like, from the instant we met, you know, just instant karma, like karma working together, you know? And so she was blonde and bubbly, and she's just a little sweetheart, Southern sweetheart. So we hit it off, and I told her that day, I was like, I don't know how that we're going to work together one day. Like, this was 3 or 4 years ago. So we became friends, and we've stayed friends. And she's actually right now in the middle of a tech startup for real estate. She's in real estate world, and I'm her fractional marketing team, and we're doing all the stuff together. And guess what? I'm sitting in right now, that same townhouse that we looked at 4 years ago. Crazy. That's where I'm recording this. And we didn't buy it then. Like, all these things happened. She ended up buying it with someone as an investment, and we're here right now. And like, how crazy is that?
That is wild.
So it's, we've lived in Texas since then. We've lived in Florida since then. I've been
that's crazy.
Like, all these other stuff. And here we are. And so it all began because I literally decided after I got my lunch to go right next door and say, hey, I'm interested in this thing. We talked, we hit it off. I had several more dinners and lunches with her. We became friends, and here we are. So you never know what's going to happen in life when you plant seeds and when you just connect with people, like just connect with other humans and just see where it takes, and then keep connecting with them. You can't meet somebody at a conference one time and never follow up and never talk to them again and expect them to be best friends with you or want to remember or recommend you. But if you hit them up every few months and y'all actually have a genuine connection, amazing things can happen.
100%. Yeah. And it's just, it's just crazy. Like it really is such a small world. I mean, like I said, like the odds, like, you know, I mean, the odds of that happening are crazy. The odds of me coming back from Africa and with less than 2 weeks of being home, I get the text from the person that I met in Africa, who's in California, texts me that she's now sitting with people that I know from my hometown. And it's just like, it's mind blowing. Like, it's mind blowing. I always say, like, anyone that like ever comes on my show. Now, again, like, so, you know, she was on, you know, her episode, you know, real time right now that we're recording this, it's not out, but by the time our episode comes out, hers will probably be out. But like, it's just so crazy to, I tell everybody all the time, like, all these people that are on my show, like, somehow end up meeting each other somehow, even if it's just virtually, like through social media, just because of, you know, all the content online. Sure. But in some way, like, all of the guests of the show all end up at some point at least knowing of each other and be like, oh yeah, I know, I remember that person from Bill's show. But like, even though like they may never have met, but like, it's the craziest thing. Like, people from, you know, just guests from the show just end up, you know, whether it's physically meeting like halfway across the country or just, you know, or just online, like whatever it is. But like, it's like literally like anything is possible. Like, just with the networking and, you know, with technology and the way things are today, like, man, like, it's just like you said, just keep in touch with those people, you know, even if it's just like a little bit here and there. And you never know where it's going to go. You might do business with them. You might just become best friends with them. You just don't know, you know? And
if you're memorable, then they're going to remember you when you call. They're not going to be like, who are you?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then you know, one thing leads to another and you never know where it could go. So
that's awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a fun interview and, it's been a lot of good topics. I love the conversation. So thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed having you on. And like I said, like, I'm sure there'll be more conversation. I'm sure you're probably going to meet one of my guests somewhere randomly at some point.
I'll let you
like,
know as soon as it happens though, I'm sure.
Yeah. Now that I said it, probably
I may
won't,
already
but...
know some of them. You never
That's
know.
Right.
I haven't researched all of them. So we'll see.
I'm sure there's probably a connection somewhere at some point, but yeah. So like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing you, you know, continue to build what you're building and you know, we'll be in touch at some point. Who knows where we're going to cross paths again, but this is one of the things that I enjoy most, about, you know, podcasting and just digital media in general. And what kind of like what we do is like, you're just always meeting new people, great people. And like, I feel like you just become like instant friends. Like, even though we're doing this virtually and we never met in person, doesn't mean that we're not going to meet in person at some point. And it's just like, we now have this connection, you know, we know of some of each other's connections now. And it's just like, we just have this.
I have some connections in Pennsylvania, so I will probably be up that way. So I'll hit you up.
Well, yes, please do. When you're up this way, and if I'm ever down your way, obviously I'll check in with you as well. So
awesome. Thank you so much, Bill.
All right. Stephanie Couch on the Stacks in the MPP studio. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.